Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that he came that we would have life and have it in its abundance. We know, according to scripture, that the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's his nature. He's evil to the core, and he's our arch enemy. And we have been given power over him in Jesus Christ. We have a very special guest with us today, John Ramirez. He was a devil worshiper. He knows all about that kingdom, but was gloriously translated into the kingdom of God. Amen. John, it is so awesome to have you with us today.
You are
the author of Armed and Dangerous.
Yes.
And Unmasking the Devil.
Yes.
And I highly recommend these books because they're all about your authority in Christ and how to reveal not only the enemy's tactics, but how to overcome and conquer. So these are amazing books, and we highly recommend people getting them. But I want you to share your testimony. It's a glorious testimony of the power of Jesus Christ and how he transformed your life and has been transforming lives through you.
Yes.
Because of your encounter with Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think that a lot of times people, even people in the church, believers, are afraid of the devil.
Yes.
They have this feeling like, oh, he's so powerful and he's so evil. We're scared of him. And, you know, let's just stay away from him and that. But, you know, really, we're to confront him.
Yes.
We are to go into his camp and take back what he stole, right? And just before the program, we were talking about 1 John 3:8. And it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. And that's what you do day by day. That's
day
what you're
day.
Called to is to,
I'm living the dream.
To overcome his
be
works.
Jesus.
But tell us your story, because you were born into a family of devil worshipers, weren't you?
Yeah, witches and warlocks. My father was, from my father, my aunt, and my father's side, there were witches and warlocks all the way from Puerto Rico, all the way back to the United States. We had connection with Cuba, people in Cuba practicing Santeria, which Santeria did not mean worship a saint, but it's worship of demons. That's what really what's about. And from there, spiritualism with tarot cards, fortune telling. From there, also Palo Mayombe. Palo Mayombe is the 21 sides of the dark side, the number one, which you sell your soul to the devil. I did that. So I was groomed. My father was a warlock. He used to put us, heat with fire in the living room and have me and my little brother jump over the fire to purify us over the fire. And we know the Old Testament speaks about that. So he used to do that. My father had a room that was full of, demonic activity, demonic, tools and instruments.
So as long as you remember, as a little boy, you lived in a home, your father's a warlock, and there's all these things going on. So it was normal for you to see this demonic fire and being called to pass through it. And,
and
you know, seeing your father do these spiritual things, that was a normal thing for
you? It was normal because, you know, in the demonic world, what the devil does, one of the greatest tricks the devil has, he introduced it to us. It's a cultural thing. It's just something that we practice, something that is generational in our family, in our culture. And it moves on from one culture to another. And that's the way the enemy sinks into your life, into your family. He takes over.
And so you get an identity
Yes.
In that realm.
In that realm of the spirit.
Well, this is who I am.
Yes.
So did your family go to like a satanic church? Like we would go to a Christian church.
Oh,
did
yes,
your family
yes,
go to
yes.
a satanic church?
We went to demonic. I went to devil church at the age of 8 years old to be trained and groomed to know how to deal with principality, territory, demon, familiar spirits. Learn. We had a demonic table. We had demonic prayers. We had demonic. We stayed there from 7 in the evening to 5 in the morning.
Wow. And that was in church.
That was church. That was church for us.
7 to 5 in the morning.
So while the Christians were sleeping, we were doing witchcraft.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard oftentimes people say that one of the weightiest hour for satanic worship and for their curses to be released is between 2 and 5 a.m.
Yes, absolutely. Because then that's the time you astral project. That's the time you took over the region. That's the time you infiltrate neighborhoods. Because if you can capture the neighborhood, the witchcraft, you can capture the people. You can transfer spirit from one demonic realm to the other. So I was trained in demon church to do that at the age of 8. And I was moving up the ranks all the way to 25 years of devil worship, and I became the third ranked devil worshiper. I was a general of recruiting people, bringing witchcraft to the church.
You were like an evangelist for the devil.
An evangelist for the devil. Recruiting people in clubs, recruiting people in lounges, recruiting people anywhere that the devil sent me to recruit people. Sometimes I'd be in 5 different clubs in one night, just
wow.
recruiting people, because I knew that the power words, demonic words on people, it would infiltrate. I knew how to do fortune telling, which is not fortune telling at all. That's a different show, right. show, how you can break down the tarot cards and they're lying to you.
Right. So when you say the devil told you, was there someone in the coven or someone in the devil's church that would like have authority over you and say, go to this club, or was there an actual demon assigned to you?
The devil himself, because after you move up the rank and you do X amount of ceremonies, mm-hmm. after you do any rituals, you get trusted with different secrets of the kingdom of darkness. I would sit with the devil one-on-one in my home.
And did he you see him in
yeah,
an open
in figure
vision?
Form. Sometimes the presence of the demonic demon will be in my home, and I can feel he speaks to my conscience, he speaks to my mind, and he'll give me the orders, and I take the orders, and I just follow the orders for the night. Go to 2 clubs, go to this club, go to that club. There's people here, there's people there. Sad to say this, sometimes he'll say, there's Christians in this club, go find them.
Wow.
Go recruit them to the dark side. Open doors and the demonic doors. If you're in the devil's territory, you're not evangelizing there. You're into devil's territory, music, all the stuff that's going on. I was able to infiltrate Christians as an angel of light.
So the devil would say, okay, you go to this club, because there's Christians engaged in the darkness there.
Yes, right.
And then you would have power to curse them.
Yes.
Because the devil took his opportunity because they were in his realm.
They was in his realm. They were, and a lot of time, and thank God that we have some strong, powerful Christians like yourself. Amen to that. So there was Christians that were between two worlds. They were in church, but they always had a taste for the world.
Right.
So those are the Christians I used to chase, because if you had a taste for the world, that means I had legal rights over your life.
Right.
As a devil worshiper.
Now, you knew that as a devil worshiper.
Yes.
That if a Christian was living a double life, that you had power to curse them.
I had power to curse them. I had power to speak into their lives, demonic
wow.
things, because whatever the Proverbs 18:21 says, it's power, life and death lays in your tongue. So I knew how to speak into their life. I knew how to fortune tell them. I knew how to open gateways and portals in their mind, because I knew how to take the territory first, because the battlefield's in the mind.
Okay, so let me ask you, so you go into a club because the mm-hmm. devil said you go to this specific club
right.
and there's going to be Christians there and you're going to curse them
because
they are compromised.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So what would you do? Like, what would you say? Like, what kind of curses would you release?
Well, I would come up to the Christian and say, hey, you know, how you doing? How are you? How you doing? How do you like the club? How do you like? See, I set up the groundwork. I wouldn't just come right at them. I set up the atmosphere. I set up the groundwork.
And they
I set
didn't
up the
know,
environment.
Obviously,
they didn't
that
know,
you were a
oh,
devil
no, they were drinking. I mean, you're drinking. You know, you're not having milk and cookies at the club.
Right.
You're drinking, so you open up your spirit realm to for me to infiltrate. So you're drinking. I say, hey, you know, I got something to tell you. And he said, well, what did you have to tell me? I said, well, you know, my daddy said to tell you this. So I go back into the fear factor, things they were delivered from, things that God has set them free. Are you still struggling with this? Is this still happening in your life? Are you still entertaining it? How do you know those things? Who are you? I'm like, well, I came to visit you today. So I knew how to set up the groundwork to take over the territory.
Now, did they think that you were a Christian? Were you
No, I hit them so hard in the spirit realm, they didn't know who I was.
They were just confused.
Yeah, right. And I leave my number. I say, hey, if you want more, just call me. Right. I'll show you that my daddy's bigger than yours.
And
I would do that, sad to say. And a lot of times they did call. I recruit Christians to the dark side because I knew the battle. I knew the spiritual warfare battle. It wasn't that God was weak. God is never weak.
No.
There's no one like Jesus Christ.
But we choose.
But we right.
We choose
decisions.
His master.
Our decisions make us, yeah. Decisions are bad decisions. As believers, we open doors that we're not supposed to open when God already closes and set us free from that place.
Right. Yeah, the scripture says that to whoever you submit yourself to, that's whose slave you become.
Yes.
So if you submit yourself to sin, you become slaves to that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say compromise isn't worth it. I mean, we're talking about someone who's very familiar with the devil's territory. He got very high up, very high ranking, was used by the devil to go on many assignments, not only over individuals, but over regions. We'll hear more about that later. But the key for him having groundwork was compromise.
Compromise.
And it's just not worth the compromise, is it? It's not worth living in two realms, having one foot in one realm and one foot in the other and thinking, oh, it's okay, I'll do this. Oh, it's okay, I'll do that. Oh, the grace of God will cover me. Because the devil has his eye on those he can snag, right? So let's just stay clean. In fact, I think one of the most powerful weapons of warfare is holiness.
Holiness. I mean, I always say, you know, we none of us are perfect. And I say that because there's times that things we struggle, there's times that things. But I think that what God is looking for, a genuine heart to serve him, a genuine person. Mm-hmm. And once said, Jesus, I'm going with you all the way. I'm not going to compromise. Hell or hot water, come, Lord. I'm going to hold on to that cross, man. Like Paul, hold on to the, in the book of Acts, when the ship broke into pieces, everybody hold on to the piece of the wood, right? I think to me, that resembles the cross, right? You hold on to a piece of the wood, the cross, you're going to make it to the other side, right? I'm not going to give the enemy an opportunity to take anything from me when I serve a mighty God.
Exactly. And we have such provision that when we come under conviction by the Spirit, we can just confess our sin and then he forgives us
and cleanses us
from that landing strip. And then the enemy has no hold on
us
then.
And I think the great thing about it, when you confess your sin, always renounce your situation too, because I think there's renunciations of things that we do, that we break the legal rights that the enemy has a stronghold on us, you know, and I believe in that so strongly because I think that not only am I asking God to forgive me for this, but I'm going to let the devil know, you no longer got legal rights over my life, over this situation. I put you on notice. I'm letting you know in the name of Jesus Christ. So I am free, and who the Son set free, free indeed.
And a lot of the keys for overcoming are found in his book, this one, Armed and Dangerous, and Unmasking the Devil. And there's all kinds of keys in those books. His website is on your screen right now. And so you can go there and find out more information on how you can connect to these books, but also more on how you can not only be free from the devil's power, but how you can be a terror in the devil's camp. Now, after the break, we're going to talk about, because you shared in the green room, about an experience you had when you were taken into hell. You have actually been inside of hell. You've seen that realm in the spirit. And so we're going to, really expose some of the strength that Jesus showed you in that place. When we expose the devil for who he is, and he lost out 2,000 years ago, he was completely conquered forever by Jesus Christ.
Man.
The only power he has is what we give him, and we're not intending to give him any.
Nothing.
And we're going to go in and release those who are captive to him out of their captivity and bring them to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just a couple of questions, and I want you to share toward the end of this segment about your time that you spent in hell when Jesus exposed it all to you. But I wanted you to cover, first of all, about the neighborhood that you lived in, because you were saying that people in your neighborhood actually knew that your family were devil worshipers.
Yes, yes.
And they were afraid of you.
Yes. It was a fear factor, because one of the biggest tools the enemy worked with is fear. So as a fear factor, if you can fear someone, you can paralyze the person spiritually. So in the neighborhood I grew up in, or the neighborhood say after 25 years of devil worshiping, the whole neighborhood, all the security, I lived in the neighborhood that was confined with security guards and all that. I mean, middle class neighborhood. And they all knew that I was the devil's kid. They knew I was the devil's child. They knew they didn't mess with me. They knew because I could send stuff to their house that would destroy them and I would conquer their territory. So there was a fear factor going on everywhere I went. I walked the streets. Everywhere I walked with this demonic authority that I had. Even Christians would cross the street. There was, they would go into this panic. Don't know why, because I walked the street. Devil worship's coming. We're going to confront.
Right.
The enemy, not exactly. Because I'm tough, it's because I want them to get saved.
Exactly. And you had mentioned that you were even, you know, meeting with this one person who is a Christian.
Yes.
Almost every day you would walk down the street. They would go to the other side of the street.
They would cross the street when they see me
because
coming.
Because they were afraid of you.
They were afraid. And they said that this aura will come out of my body that will make the hair stand up.
Yeah. So instead of confronting it,
yes.
They ran.
They ran across the street.
You see, that's the devil's an intimidator.
Mm-hmm.
And you must not be intimidated by him at all. You know, we have to confront it because he's already a loser. He's
mm-hmm.
a loser. And we need to understand that because you probably could have got saved years before.
Oh, years ago. I mean, if you know, I think the whole here, Patricia, is one of the things that I question sometimes. I say, Lord, why it took so long for me to get saved? 25 years of devil worshiping, astral projecting, drinking animal blood.
25 years.
Of devil
25 years of devil worship.
Drinking animal blood. Drinking my own blood,
doing
witchcraft to people. You know, the amazing thing, I used to project so much, right? And the amazing thing, the only neighborhood that I was not able to penetrate when I used to astral project to put witchcraft on the neighborhoods or put spells in the neighborhood or transfer one demon from another neighborhood to another neighborhood. There was, and I didn't know what a Christian looked like. In the spirit realm, I used to go into neighborhoods, astral project, and then there was believers that were in the neighborhood. They were like in a circle. That means unity. In a circle, holding hands, praying. So they were able to chase me out to pray out of neighborhoods. So I wasn't able to infiltrate the neighborhood witchcraft because they knew how to pray. They knew how to pray in the spirit. How to pray. They used to chase me out. And I used to get so upset. I used to leave the neighborhood. I had to find a weak neighborhood that people weren't praying so I can infiltrate the neighborhood.
So one believer that's praying in a neighborhood can protect the whole neighborhood,
you can take,
right?
Yeah. I mean, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Amen?
And I just want to encourage you to do that because you're God's salvation tool for your neighborhood by praying and even praying in tongues when you don't mm-hmm. even know what you're praying for, you know, and joining together with other believers. That's why it's important to be in church because you can join together with other believers in prayer for the Lord to have his way. There is so much power in Jesus. The devil is nothing in comparison to Jesus.
And you know what's the proven fact? That I had witchcraft. I had $100,000 of witchcraft stuff in my house. I had human bones.
Wow.
I had everything you can. I had different dirt from different cemeteries in my home. I had like a cemetery in my closet full of. I had different dirt from cemetery.
What would
witchcraft
you do with the dirt? What was?
Well, do witchcraft to people. I had coffin box. Do witchcraft to people. I would steal people's personality, people's character, put their names on it. Do witchcraft. Put animal blood, and do rituals or 21 candles. The devil's 21. Watch people till they can die. Get witch spells on them. Sickness on them. Depression, oppression, suicide, spirit, and the whole entire thing. On October 9th, 1999, God took me to hell. And brought me back. And just to show the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. And I remember that night I was sitting on the bed.
There we go. And this is a story.
This is
I want you
stuff.
To share.
This is, I mean, only Jesus Christ, that he would take you to hell and bring you back safe. I went to hell as a devil worshiper, came back as a believer. I mean, only the power of God.
You got saved in hell.
I got saved in hell, not in church. I got saved in hell.
You got saved in hell, not in church.
And hell is a location. It's
yes,
a real place.
Is.
It's a real place.
It's
a real
it
place.
Is.
Just as heaven is a real place, hell is a real place.
Yeah, and it's a spiritual location beneath the earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's very real.
It's very real. Yeah. It's more real than the oxygen you breathe.
Yeah.
And I remember that night I was sitting on the bed, just to make a long story short, I was sitting in the bed and I was saying, I met myself as Jesus. Jesus don't love my family. My father used to beat my mother. My father was a drunk. My father got shot in the face at 33, dying in a club for a woman that wasn't even his when he had a good wife home. I said, Jesus never loved my family. Why would I serve Jesus Christ? And I remember I was falling into this anesthesia sleep. I said, if you're bigger than my daddy, then you show me or leave me alone. And I went to the anesthesia sleep and I ended up in this train that was going hellbound. The train was so full of people in the terror, in the fear in that train.
Now this is right in hell, a train in hell.
The train going to hell,
yeah.
Full of people. And it was going so fast. There was no speed on earth can they describe the speed on this train. And it was Jezebel was on the train in demonic tongues because the devil is a master copycat of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's a master copycat. That's what the Bible says. He can come as an angel of light. That's how much he wants to fool you and deceive you. But God is the true God. God is the truth, the way, and the life. There's nothing like Jesus Christ. And when that train hit hell, I got off, and the heat in the ground was breathing. The ground, when you step on hell, it breathes. You know, there's no way you can have a solid foot on hell. It breathes. And as I was running through the tunnels of hell to try to get out, because the first thing I said, I don't belong here. I mean, I do belong there. I'm a devil worshiper. I mean, God is just.
But you knew that that's not what you were created for.
I was created because no human being is created to go to hell.
Right.
Every human being is created to go to with Jesus Christ if you make the decision for the cross.
Jesus never created hell for people.
No, for demons.
Yeah.
And for the devil himself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we make the decisions that we make. God never sends no one to hell, by the way.
Yeah,
it's our decisions that we make take us there. So when I got there, I was trying to find a way. There was a tunnel. The tunnels are very narrow. And I was walking. I was running desperately to the tunnels. And then the thing is that the fear in hell is different than the one on earth. Because if you're driving, you skid on ice, you kind of, you know, tense up and you feel like your heart racing. That we call that fear here. But the fear in hell wraps around you. It wraps around you like a garment, and doesn't let you go like it's alive. And I'm trying to run and trying to find my way out. And then I remember the devil showed up in hell. He said, "I'm going to destroy you. I was your daddy. Eight years old, I became your daddy. I gave you all the secrets of my kingdom of darkness." All this stuff is going on. This conversation in demonic tongues. And I'm understanding demonic tongues because I was trained.
You were trained
to know demonic tongues. So I was trained to understand, interpret the demonic tongues. And I was like, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm just confused." Well, he went to grab me. The glorious cross of Jesus Christ in pain hell. And the devil felt like a dummy. He felt like a sack of potatoes in front of the cross. He couldn't even deal with the power of the cross. Then as I ran deeper to hell, he came out for the second time. Just to sum it up, he came out for the second time and he went to Grammy and said, "I will destroy you because you're never going to expose me and expose my occult, my religion to anyone."
Because he had taught you so much.
He taught me so much in 25 years.
He was afraid of you now.
Even October month is witchcraft month. In December, it's witchcraft month because we know how to transfer principalities from one region to another. When Christians are in the mall shopping for Christmas, we doing witchcraft in December and October, two big months. I got married on Halloween. I had a demonic wedding. But when he went to Grammy second time,
Just to ask a question, did your wife come to know Jesus?
You know, the amazing thing that for years I was really heavy burden in my heart about her salvation. I said, "Lord, I brought her to the kingdom of darkness. You got to make a way." And it's funny, one day she called me up. She said, "Hey, I'm buying a new house with my husband." You know, she got married years later. I got divorced when I was a devil worshiper at 27. I became to faith in 35. So she said, "Hey, you want to come see the house? Your daughter's going to live in." I said, "Yeah, I'll go." So we drove up there. She showed me the house. I said, "Would you like to pray for the house?" I told her. I said, so you can make sure that you get this blessing for this house for you and my daughter and your family and your husband. So we pray. And I said, "Hey, would you like Jesus come into your heart?" In that moment, the Holy Spirit arrested the whole car.
Whoa.
And she said, "Yes,
awesome.
Give me Jesus." And I gave her, she did the sinner's prayer. She received Jesus and she threw all her witchcraft stuff out and left it in the old house and went to the new house. So I said, "Thank you, Jesus."
Come on.
Amen. Because I wouldn't want that burnt in my heart.
Okay, now let's go back to hell. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're in hell.
I'm in hell.
The cross is being manifest.
Yes.
The devil is like a sack of potatoes.
You know, it's a sack of potatoes. I run through the last tunnel of hell, one of the last tunnels in hell to get out. I'm looking for a window. I'm looking for a door. I'm so desperate at this point. I want out. I don't want to be there. I don't want to stay there. I want to be free. And the devil shows up. I mean, fury. And the devil before he went to grab me, he said, "I'm going to destroy you." I said, "I got something to destroy you." I showed him my marks right here. I got the marks that I sold my soul to the devil. I said, "I destroy you with these." He said, "You foolish. I gave you those. And that's what my legal right that I own you." And I remember he went to grab me again. And this is the power of God. I have shorts. I had a t-shirt. Had a 3-foot cross shows out of nowhere. I can't pull it out of my pocket. There's no way, no how. The cross, the redemption, the place that the devil was very defeated at the cross.
Yep.
2,000 years ago, shows up in hell, sets me free. I come back into my body like I was in ICU, like they put these electrical paddles. My spirit comes back into my body. Mm-hmm. I said, "Lord, this is my chance to say goodbye to this and go with a new daddy." And I
and
went all over Jesus.
And you chose your new daddy.
And I took $100,000 witchcraft stuff. Human bones, cemetery dirt, jail dirt. I took everything out and threw it all away to follow Jesus Christ.
Wow. This is the gospel. This is the good news. I'm going to be right back, but I want you to celebrate the power of Jesus right now because he conquered sin, death, hell. He conquered it all 2,000 years ago. The devil and his kingdom, it's very real. But there's no power in it compared to the power we have in Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, at this point, why don't you invite him in? He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is absolute, perfect, pure love. He's perfectly holy, and flawless in his nature, and he wants to be your God. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. And if you'll invite him in, he will come in to your life and make you a brand new person. He will forgive all your sin, all your past failures, your mistakes, and he'll give you this brand new, glorious, heavenly life, his life. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. He just gives it to anyone who is willing to receive it. He wants to be your Savior and Lord. And if you ask him in, let us know about that. Please write me and let me know that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And also, if you are a Christian and you're compromised, that you know that you're doing things that are opening up to the devil's power, you're giving him legal right. You can close that right now. Okay. You can close that door. You can take away his right simply by saying, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my compromise. And right now, I give you my life 100%, 100% back to you. And he will protect you. He will cover you. And he will keep you for all eternity. May you all remember this above all else, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.